I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus. My name is Cliff. What is your name?
It's just Brett again this week, yeah. Man. I'm doing all right. I am doing okay. Can't complain.
Okay.
You know, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Mr. Cliff.
What have you been doing this week?
Not much. This week, just walking and that. But last week, I was off and I watched every single Friday the 13th.
Oh, did you? I haven't seen any of them.
I haven't seen any of them, so I decided to watch them all. They become strangely addictive.
Are they good?
But they're not very good. If I said the best one is the one where he goes to space, that will probably tell you how good they are. What you been doing like?
This week I've mostly been looking low and high and making letters all dripping.
Is that what you've been doing?
No, I've moved house, haven't I? Last time I spoke to you, I was just about to move. I have now moved. Uh-huh. You can see a new view behind. So I haven't really had time to watch much because I've been moving, and I think you haven't had time to watch much because I think you've been in County Durham. But what I did watch was two fantastic bits of television that you asked us to watch.
Yes, I think we certainly did. Both presented by the genius that is Neil Buchanan.
Mm-hmm.
What a guy. What a guy.
I like him.
I like him.
We've mentioned him on here before, haven't we?
Yes, we've mentioned him. We'll mention him with his band Marseille, haven't we? His heavy metal band. I was there a little bit today.
And what they
sounded
like?
Sounded okay. Sounded all right. Sounded a little bit like the early Mannix.
Is he the front man?
No, he's a guitarist. Apparently, he's a really good guitarist as well. He's a very talented man.
He's a jack of all trades, isn't he? And master of all.
He is indeed. So we did pick two, didn't we? We picked Art Attack and we picked Finders Keepers. So can you remember both of those programs as a kid?
Yes, I can. And I remembered him from his first telly appearance, which was called Number 73. It was like a Saturday morning TV show set in a house. And like just daft stuff was going on, characters and people coming and going. Like a proper classic old TV, kids TV Saturday morning show. And I remembered him being on that. And then I forgot he was on the show Motor Mouth, which came in between. He presented that. Can you remember that show?
No, I can't remember that one. I can't remember the one that you previously mentioned either.
I think it wasn't short-lived, but it was when we were very young. I just got very vague remembrance of that. But Motor Mouth, I remember being because you could call up and play a computer game. You remember, like, obviously, computer games, not everybody had a computer.
That rings a bell.
And you could play this game. And I remember always wanting to do that. It was one of those things where you thought, oh, I wish I could go on there and play that game. It was class.
I was watching one today called It's a Mystery, which I think I used to watch as a kid. And it was basically him and was it Sophie Aldred, who used to be in Doctor Who.
Doctor Who assistant.
Him and her. And it was just basically, this is a mystery, this is how it happened type thing. But I watched a very sinister episode of it just now, where they made this actor cry on cue.
What?
It was very much like Alan Partridge. Yeah.
Oh, really? What happened?
So that was good. They just said, and, you know, nobody really knows why we cry. Mostly people think it's because, you know, when we're babies, if we cried, we got something. Whatever. And Sophie Aldred went, "Hello, Mr. Actor Man. I've heard that you can cry on cue." And he went, "I can." He went, she went, "Go on then." And he just started crying. It was just so uncomfortable. Was it,
like,
it was unbelievable.
Close up on his face, like Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah. And he's starting to cry, right? And he was crying for about a minute. And then she went, "Thank you. Thank you, John." And he went, "No problem."
Anyway, Neil Buchanan, a Scouse legend.
Yes.
A very gentle talking man, isn't he? He's got a lovely soft accent, not a very harsh Scouse accent. He's from Aintree, where the horse racing happens. I've been there. And yeah, he's got a, considering he's in a heavy metal band, he's an unlikely, he's obviously very good with kids, and he's great personality for these kids' TV shows. And also happily watching them back now, he doesn't seem a bit weird with them. Like, he's quite normal and natural, which is good.
Exactly. It's definitely a good thing, considering, unfortunately, the previous people that we used to watch and stuff like that and what they've done. But yeah, he's very much like good with the kids and stuff like that, isn't he? Especially on the Find Us Keepers one, where he's interacting with kids and stuff like that.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
Well, let's do Art Attack first, and then we'll do Find Us Keepers. Eh?
So, Art Attack ran for 20 years. Sold the rights to it for £14 million.
He
sold it to Disney, and in return, he got to design a ride at Disneyland Paris or something like that.
Did he?
Fulfilling a dream, lifelong dream of being involved in Disney, with Disney in some way. And yeah, it's essentially him talking to the camera, doing art. Sometimes it's silent and he's like just doing bits and pieces while music plays. Sometimes he's talking you through how to do various paintings or styles of drawing and stuff like that. Or like making stuff like a lovely sponge picture frame.
Yeah, a lovely sponge picture frame. And I like his introduction to that. Can't afford posh picture frames, can you not?
Well, how about a lovely sponge frame?
And it was the most 90s thing ever, because he brought out the pictures. And what one was Linford Christie.
Mid-sprint.
Mid-sprint, who was the other one? Anthea Turner.
Anthea Turner. And one with a lovely press shot of Keanu Reeves sitting on a step.
Looking longingly into the camera.
Yeah. It was very, it was nice. Well, that was 96, I think we were, that 96. Episode. That's what it said on YouTube, but
it
was
did.
Linford Christie still a sprinting in 96?
It's still a sprinting. Was he still a sprinting? I'm sure he was. The lunchbox was motoring on, I think, wasn't it? But it was on earlier than that, wasn't it? When it started, 90 or something 90, like that.
90, I think, it was a proper institution, wasn't it? Everybody knew it. And obviously it started with, this is an art attack. This is an art attack. This is art attack. And then he's got a very convincing way of trying to get you to do stuff. But you know what, Brett? I never did a single fucking thing off this show. And I don't know anybody who did.
Well, I did.
Did you?
I did.
What did you make?
There was a one which was like a moving cartoon that you could do with two bits of paper. What you had to do was draw a cartoon and then draw one that was, you know, similar but not the same, so that it would move a bit, like, you know, them flip pad things
that you do.
And you would roll up.
With a pencil.
Of them with a pencil and go. So I distinctly remember doing that one.
Okay.
Do that one? Because if you did, then you have done one.
Well, I don't think he invented it. I think I might have done it at some point.
course he did. Everyone knows that. Okay. One.
All right then. Well, I have then. I take it back.
See? Exactly.
I think most of the stuff, I mean, obviously I'm old and miserable now, but who could be asked to cut up all them sponges and stick them together?
Well, that's his motto, isn't it? If in doubt, get somebody else to do it, which is a great motto that I'm going to start living my life by.
I think I quite like how you're saying, you want to put some PVA glue on there and you have to put quite a lot on it because these sponges... very porous.
Very porous. But, I mean, very porous.
By the nature, sponges are porous. It's like the number one characteristic.
Uh-huh. And he obviously didn't get the rights.
Maybe number two after absorbent.
They didn't get the rights to say blue tack, did they? No. He kept calling it sticky tack.
Put some sticky tack behind there.
Put some sticky tack under there.
Tell you one of the things that so basically a sponge picture frame was he cut washing up sponges in half, stuck mm-hmm. them around in a square, and then put a picture in the middle of them. That's what he did. Yeah. And those of you have noticed there, that. I've just put the picture on some cardboard and sellotaped it to the back.
But he apparently, we all know he's Banksy, don't we? So
apparently, he's obviously he's denied it. It's either him or massive attack.
So he's a good artist and that, but he keeps talking all the way through and that, doesn't he? He's good at that, isn't he?
It's
he
great, but also
engaging.
It is great. One of my favorite things about it is he talks in a way that the stuff he's saying is like you should know it. I don't know if I'm describing it really well, but he'll be going, so you take your sponge frame, and you're like, you've just made this up, like you're talking about it like it's a regular thing, and every time you make something, he's talking about the wiggly ear mechanism. And so you just take your wiggly ear mechanism, WEM.
And that makes you believe that as a kid, or certainly me, that I could do it. Do you know what I mean? I could actually try it and sort of it would work. And it did with that picture thing that I told you about.
That's good.
I did like there's one way he draws spooky letters.
Yeah, that was his favourite one.
That was a good one.
If you want to draw spooky letters.
He did draw a bit of spunk. He couldn't resist that.
This is the thing. It's the way he says stuff I really like. He's going, if you want to draw spooky letters, just get your letter E there. And what you want to do is just make some wobbly lines around the side. And when it gets to the underside, just do it all dripping and that, so it comes off and it's spooky. And then he went look at that. And then he goes, you could even draw some globules coming off the side, some blobs. It's just the way he says stuff is like, he says it like it's the most natural thing in the world to be talking about that thing or making that thing. Which I think you're right in saying when you're watching it, it makes it achievable or like a normal thing.
Yeah, he's a good teacher, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? That's what he's doing. He's teaching. At the end of the day, he's a good teacher.
I used to watch it.
So what
it.
Else was... Oh, you can't, we're kind of not... We can't not talk about the big art attacks, can we? Because they were great, weren't they? Although... completely unachievable if you're a kid. Where are you going to get all them boxes?
I never really used to like them, to be honest. So you should want them. Just want to see the end. Just want to see what it is. Like, I'm not bothered about them putting all the paper out and that.
I used to like them, I think. I used to like them.
Well, apparently he made one
with the head thing on.
Yeah, the head. Apparently he made one of the Queen's face that actually out of money that had actual £500,000 of money in it to make it.
Really? And then did he set it on fire?
And then he, dropped 10 sheep on it or something like that. Maybe he's also the killer.
Because he's a rock star, and he just set it on fire. He is the killer. He's everybody. He's everybody, this guy. I think the head, that which was just like a bust, wasn't it? That would sort of
like in an art
explain
gallery.
What had happened. He was like a later addition, wasn't he? But he was still on when we were watching it, I think, wasn't he?
I never used to really like the head.
He's got the word sex written in his hair. The head.
What?
Don't know why. What? He's got the word sex written in his hair. Do you want us to see it again, man?
I can't remember that. Uh-huh. I'll have to look.
Well, no, it's what it's like a hidden subliminal message in his hair. So, yeah. But, yeah, it's a wonderful program. I think a good one that's educational for kids and stuff like that and enjoyable, do you know what I mean, which is hard to do, I think. But he pulls it off, this Buchanan.
Like, fair play. Like I say, he made it 20 years. He's obviously very proud of it. If you have a look on his website and stuff like that, talking about how many BAFTAs it won and, you know, it's been shown in so many countries and all that. So not only made him a lot of money, but also it's something he's still proud of and all that. And I think fair play. Wasn't my favourite show, but yeah, it's excellent. And I'm all for Neil and his successes. But I did enjoy Finders Keepers more. I really, really liked that show. And I used to love it as a kid.
Yeah, it's another one that I showed Lennon, I guess, when he was smaller, do you know what I mean? Watch this one. It used to be on when I was little and stuff like that. So it's one that's always stuck in me mind because you just, again, like Funhouse, it was something you wanted to be on, didn't you?
Absolutely.
You wanted to do that stuff.
It's an absolutely genius idea. The premise of it is the set is like a house with different rooms.
Yeah.
You're watching it and an audience is watching it from a cross section. So you're seeing inside the rooms, but it's cut in half. And there's two teams of kids. They've got to answer questions and they get points for answering questions, but also it means they get to go in a room and look for something. And basically, you get to totally mess up a room as you hunt for a hidden object. And you just get to trash it. Be messy and break things. And you get to do it. The mom and dad's room, the kids' room, the haunted room, a bit weird, but that as well.
The fantasy room. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've talked about it before. There's nothing better than looking in drawers. Is there? Having a bit of a rummage around in drawers, seeing what's there. And this is like just ramped up, isn't it? Completely. It's like really fast pace. He's all over the place. Buchanan is
absolutely
up and down the stairs.
So much energy, jumping over settees and all of that kind of stuff. Brilliant. And also, it is fast paced. The rounds are 30 seconds long. Like it's
30 seconds.
It's great.
To find the stuff, but he does help sometimes.
But he does just tell them where it is, so they're all right. it's great. Like, and again, like what I love with these kind of shows when we've watched back Funhouse and stuff like that is the interaction between the adults and the kids, like the presenter and the kids, when the kids come out and go, "Hey, what's your name and where you're from?" It's always a bit funny, isn't it? Because the kids obviously aren't media trained. They're not used to being on camera and all that kind of stuff. And kids are honest as well, aren't they? And they talk in a certain way and they're honest. So Neil Buchanan, I think it was great at interacting with him, like we said. And when they come out at the beginning, he says, "Oh, have you got any secret hiding places?" And the answers are good. And he does say, what is your name?" very precisely when he says, "Get the kids in."
He does ask them if they've got secret hiding places and that, and they're all saying, "Yeah, I've got loads of food under my bed." Did you stash food in your bedroom as a kid?
Why would I be stashing food anywhere?
Exactly, I didn't. It's a strange one, that one. So we've got two different teams, haven't we, who've got to compete by answering questions. Should we talk about the questions, Cliff?
Yeah, because it's been the absolute highlight of my day. I haven't stopped being able to laugh. I haven't stopped laughing about it since I watched it at 6:30 this morning. I watched this show and I've literally been laughing about it like about every hour. I got reminded. So the premise of the questions is he asks a question and you don't say the answer, you say a number.
You pick a number.
So there's nine squares and each of those squares has got an answer behind it. And you kind of, it's like a bit like pairs or something like that.
Yeah.
So he says, which superhero gets changed in a phone box? And you go, number four. And number four turns around and it says Pinocchio. Oh, you're wrong.
Yeah.
All right, next team. Which boy's nose gets longer the more he lies, and they say, oh, yeah, Pinocchio's by number four. So we'll say number four. Right, now, yeah, they are both actual questions on this.
Yeah.
The third question is, Brett.
Well, I'll they ask you about this question in a different way. Do you think it's right to ask pre-pubescent children, right, about page three supermodel? That's what I'd like to know. Do you think it's okay?
They shouldn't know what it is.
No, exactly. Who's put that in?
And Buchanan, they look confused by it as well.
Uh huh. He says it like with a good straight face. So the question is
exactly the same as all the other questions.
Who is a page three pinup? That's the question to these kids, and they're like, "What? What are you talking about?" Do you know what I mean?
Three. And John Major comes around. He's like, John Major. Says John Major for the Pinocchio, doesn't he? John Major comes around.
The lion.
He goes, well, looky, it doesn't happen to John Major, or he'd have a massive nose by now.
Do you think this has been sneaked in by someone? Just, the parents will like this one.
It's
the
crazy.
Dads will like this
it's
one.
It's crazy. Name a page three pinup. It's mental. They're about 10.
I know. It's
Did you
totally
guess who it was
going to
be?
I didn't actually. I didn't guess who it was going to be.
It was
Did
the
you?
The other one?
The other one. What, Lusardi?
Yeah.
No, I didn't think about it. Actually, I was laughing too much. That's
you didn't
thing.
Think about which one it might be. And you know what? I don't think I did. And then obviously Samantha Fox came around. And he goes, of course it is Samantha
Fox. Of course, everybody knows it's Samantha Fox. Even 10-year-old kids. I mean, what this game was, she wasn't that big. Well, I'm saying big. She was big, but do you know what I mean? She wasn't like, I thought she was like an 80s page three girl or something.
I don't.
Didn't she have like pop records in the 90s? I don't know.
Samantha
Fox. I thought she was an 80s.
Let's Google her. Singer. She's classed as a singer according to Google.
Mm-hmm. See? I knew it.
She was on page three until 1986, and this was in 1992.
There you go. How are they going to know that? They're not going to know that. Well, I mean, they shouldn't know it anyway, should they? But there you go. Oh, you've gone all funny. Keep unplugging yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I'm always doing that, aren't I?
You always
make sure
that.
I've got the right one on. I think I've got the right one on. Sorry about that. Getting carried away with Sam Fox.
You were. It's not a bad thing to get carried away with, I don't think. Unless you're a 10-year-old child. That's what I'd say. So, yeah, that's crazy, that. But, I mean, there's a couple of examples of, like, one watch Funhouse. I'm sure he asked the kids, like, totally. He asked them what to do an Eddie Murphy impression, didn't he? So, so, I mean, it's just a different time completely. It's amazing how times have changed and stuff like that. But I think even for that time, asking kids about a page three pinup is not right. It's but not, there you go. But right. Funny. It's funny, though.
It's so stupid. So, yeah. So once they answer the questions, whatever question they get right corresponds to a room that they get to go and look around in. Then when they get into the room, Neil, and they're like running around and jumping off the walls and stuff like that to get there. Neil gives them a clue, like a cryptic clue, like a dusty bin.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
Some of them are easy. Yeah, I like them. I like clues. I like questions like that. But hopefully you've got a quiz about it later. And you never know. Probably not like.
Nah, well, good
no
question.
Chance. But I know you have. But I like stuff like that. Most I got, some I didn't.
I didn't get all of them. Some of them were easy, some of them I didn't know. So there's essentially this thing's hidden somewhere in the room and they've just got to trash it to try and find it. While Neil just shouts all the time, like he doesn't let them have a chance to think. But most of the time he's trying to give them not so subtle hints about where to look. But he just keeps saying,
sometimes.
Look high, look low, look high, look low, all over and over and over again.
There was one instance in this episode, though, where he actually he stood in the way of where the thing was to try and keep the game going a little bit longer. Yeah. So, like, sometimes he helps them and sometimes he doesn't, you know what I mean? But as a viewer, there's a big arrow that pops up, isn't there? Yeah. Sort of telling you where that, the thing is,
yeah.
Which makes it a little bit more exciting because then you're saying, look over there, man!
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? As a kid.
So
yeah, that's... And something I'd love to do. Still love to trash rooms.
It is one of those things where you're just like, oh, I wish I could have a go at that.
Right? Imagine getting like Liam Gallagher on or something. As a celebrity guest, he'd love it, wouldn't he?
Just trashing it.
Right? It's good. Then, the other bit that I thought was funny was the fantasy room bit where there was like skeletons in there. And he said to the kids, look, a couple of former contestants. Have you ever seen The Running Man?
He went really scouser as well when he said that. I noticed he got a bit more like Larry with them.
It just reminded me of the Whitman, Price and her dad bit of Running Man, where they're supposed to have won or whatever, and then you see them and they're skeletons.
It reminded me of the Milkmen on Monty Python.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Final round again? They just get to do all the rooms.
Either had to do all the rooms, they had to find like a clue, or they had to find the object which had a clue attached to it, and then they had to run throughout the house type room. Thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The prize? What do you think of the prize?
Well, it was good, wasn't it? It's better than Funhouse's prizes or whatever. Yeah, that
trip to the as yet unopened Disneyland Paris.
He says, have you been yet? Yeah, I've been. You haven't?
Yeah, haven't even opened. He goes, do you know any French? To be fair play, the kids. They go, yep, oui. And they start talking in French. And do you know how to say goodbye? And one of them says, merci. And he goes, ha, ha, ha. Well, we'll say it anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, I preferred the... I think it's the green team that won, but I preferred the yellow team.
Yeah.
Because there was a kid called John who was an absolute maniac.
Yeah, you could tell he was a nutter.
Yeah, he was a nutcase, but he was really polite. So I like that. I like that about him. And also, Jason Donovan signed photo and it cut his face and he looked absolutely devastated. Yeah,
he was not happy with that. At all.
He wasn't happy with that at all. And that's to his credit. Well done, John.
What I like about it, whenever they got a question right, he kept going, yo.
Yeah, yo.
Yeah, they were good. They were a bit more animated than the green ones, who seemed a little bit older and less involved. Less excited.
I know they did. They kind of like won by default, I think, didn't they?
I had it over hand.
Yeah. So I would prefer the yellow team to win, but you cannot have everything. You cannot have the maniac win.
No.
I think at one point it did kick something. When the game had finished.
Yeah, it was good. No, I just made us think it was great, but this was 92, so we would have been 11. So really, we probably should have been a bit older to watch that, but I guess my younger brother probably was watching it. Stacey would have
Watching it. Of course, yeah. I loved it, me. 11. That's the prime age for rummaging around and raiding rooms, surely. Isn't it? 11.
The formative years.
So
I thought it was great. Loved it. And yeah, like fair play to Neil, like an absolute legend. I had a look on his website, his current website. Had a look at his art and his photography and stuff that he does now, and it's really good. I really like it. I almost thought I'm going to buy one of these things, but I think I was just a bit caught up in the moment because of my desk keepers.
You know, maybe she should. This Lisa's friends and stuff like that went to their house once, and this was before all the hoorah, let's say, right, and then. He had a picture on the wall and he says, oh, do you like the picture I got for Christmas? I went, yeah, it's quite good. He says, it's by Rolf Harris, that. He says, it's an investment. Sadly, it didn't turn out.
Well, you never know.
Like, to be quite the investment.
There might be somebody like Lemmy out there that starts collecting Rolf Harris pictures.
You never know. I mean, it was massive and it was like a huge and on the wall and stuff like that. I wonder if it's still there. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't, it was more arty.
Picture of the Rolf Harris on the wall.
Yeah.
By Rolf Harris.
Duh.
I can see that.
I think it was like one of these more arty ones. Do you know what I mean? It was a picture of like a woman or
the
something.
Queen.
I hope it was a woman, Cliff. I did. Yeah. That's true. She's obviously put that in the skip.
They're all in. They're all in on it. Would you like a quiz?
I would indeed.
Wait till I get me
notes. Built it up.
I think it's quite good. It's a quiz about kids' TV presenters, and what I want you to tell us, I'll give you the name of the presenter, and you've just got to tell us what they're up to now.
What they're up to now?
Yeah. It's all right, isn't it?
God, all right then. Well, I guess.
So we're going to start with...
Go on, then.
The great Dave Benson Phillips.
Dave Benson Phillips. Was he on the one where your parents were on? Can you remember that one?
Get Your Own Back.
On BBC One, where you had to get your own back. That was it. Mm-hmm. Was he on that?
I think so, yeah. It was a lot of gunge.
I used to like that. Aye, a lot of guns, uh-huh. What is Dave Benson Phillips doing now? Has he gone into selling lines of cigarettes and screwdrivers from his corner shop?
You're not far off. he runs a company called Chester Benson Productions, who are described as offering entertainment, removals, and transport. So...
entertainment, removals, and transport.
So I'm going to say that.
Good,
I'm going to say that reality, being a removal man, is 99% of his business, and he probably just throws the entertainment in for free when he's doing it.
Yeah, just a perk. It's a perk.
So that's
I like
what,
that.
That's
you would get him round, though, wouldn't you? Good.
Imagine if you booked the removal man and Dave Benson Phillips turned up.
Yeah, that would be good. It would be better if Timmy Mallet turned up, though, wouldn't it?
It would be. So number two, Timmy Mallet.
You see? What segue? It's almost like I know what the questions are going to be, but I obviously don't.
No, you don't.
I really don't.
So what's he up to
now? Go on then. What's he up to? Is he in Bermuda? With his shorts on and his itchy, bitty, teeny, weeny, yellow, dapper kini or whatever it was? Or does he just still assault children with a hammer?
He doesn't do that anymore. Apparently, he does sell lots of those hammers from his personal website.
Does he?
He's described as being an artist. An artist is what he says.
What type? What type of artist?
I started trying to read a bit more about what he's up to, and it just kept saying something about the Great Barrier Reef.
Right. is he trying to protect the Great Barrier Reef?
He like bought
is a, he from bought plastic a portion and that? Of
it or something like that.
He bought a portion of it.
Yeah.
Is it up for sale? Like,
I don't know. I stopped trying to work out what it was about, but I just wrote something.
You're asking me about what they're doing, and you don't even know. You've not put the work in.
but I was hoping you knew.
Of course, I'm going to know exactly what he's doing at this precise moment.
I thought you would fill in the blanks.
Right.
Number three. Former Blue Peter presenter and a favourite of Michael Reed, Katie Hill.
Oh, yes, I remember her. Mm-hmm. She was quite a favourite of mine back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
What's she doing now? Has she opened up a number of patisserie services?
What patisserie?
Patisserie.
Sadly not. She's a life coach. And her Instagram has got lots of positive
messages.
Well,
I don't like her now then.
I don't like her now. Okay,
well. I don't like life coaches and stuff. I mean, who are they to tell people what to do and that?
Well, do you want to hear one of her positive messages from Instagram?
No.
I've got it written down.
Still don't want to hear it.
Okay, well, never mind then.
I'll turn my ears off.
Okay, it doesn't matter. Number four, Gareth Jones, better known to you and me as Gareth Top.
Yes. I liked him as well. He was also a good one. He was a bit of a rocker guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, yeah.
Like the bands and that. Mm-hmm. What would Gaz Top be doing now? Is he a circus performer at the Big Top? And he's sort of he's hoping that his name will bring in the punters.
But instead, people only Google him when they're looking for a small cooker. no, actually, Gaz Top is still doing well. Actually, I had a quick look at him on Twitter, and I thought I'm going to follow him because he looks like he's a good guy. A lot of music stuff he's on about. And he's still presenting shows on like BBC Wales and stuff like that. And he's got got his own podcast. And he's a show called Gaz Top on Speed, and he's a big fast car fan.
There's a lot of them about, isn't it? He's surely perfect for a radio show, isn't he?
You'd think so. He's got a lisp though, hasn't he? So maybe not.
Ah, that's all right, man.
I think he's a good guy.
Definitely. I like him, and Gilbert.
And Gilbert the alien, yeah. Did you see them in Shields? Have we talked about that?
No, I didn't see them in Shields, but I did throw paper on deck.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I saw them in Shields. They went to Arbea Roman Fort in their big spaceship.
Did they? Was it it was filmed in Shields there?
One episode was. They went there one week. Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to dig that one out. You might see a little
actually, clip. Yeah, just looking through the railings. not actually part of the filming experience.
Don't let him in.
Okay, last we've got Philip Schofield.
What's he doing now?
Yeah,
he's making people upset on This Morning, isn't he? That's his job. Says, and he also starts in a series of annoying adverts.
It says here, now an insufferable prick.
Unfortunately, that does seem to be true. That does seem to be true, doesn't it? It does. I told you about that when he was shouting at that person for making him wait or whatever. That was just. Yeah, I'm sorry. Your wife's terminally ill. I take that, Schofield. You shit.
I mean, he's full of his own self-importance, isn't he?
He is completely. Yes. I mean, I don't watch This Morning or anything like that. I did gladly watch that 5 minutes. But I'm glad I did because it's wonderful. But there are. Is he just on This Morning? Is that it? Can't remember that game show, The Cube.
I was going to say there's something about squares, isn't there? He's on a game show.
I hated that. It was so annoying.
I don't think I ever watched it. It looks shit.
Right. It's awful. It's awful. So, yes, that was a good quiz, Cliff. And it's to your credit.
Okay, well, that's the end of the quiz. And then we've got music, I think, haven't we?
We have indeed, yes. We've got cyberpunk music. That's apparently what it's called.
Okay.
And I like that. I like that. But not the game cyberpunk, because that's a pile of shit. But that's something different.
I don't know anything about that. But I like the song, whatever the genre. I like this by Savage Void.
Savage Void, This one's called The Struggle of Man. And it's from a new album that's coming out soon called Edge of Night.
Okay, good. I like it. just struggle a man. They're not like the Proud Boys, are they? Like, it sounds a little bit like that.
But no, I don't think so. Let's hope not. Let's certainly hope not.
Either way, let's separate the art from the artist and just enjoy the cyberpunk track.
Yes, it's good. I like it.
Really good. I like it. Sorry, lads. I'm really sure good. You're not Proud Boys, but if you are, still good. So let's hear it for Savage Void, and we'll see you all next week when hopefully my own father will be on and I'll be a proud boy.
Yes, and I'll be sitting next to the fella, won't I?
Yeah. All right then. Cheers, everyone. See you later. Thank you, Brett. Take care.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.